Blog Talk Radio.
The Hebrew marriage.
And Messiah did it from the standpoint of a Galilean marriage. Marriage ritual wasn't the same for all tribes. And so the Galilean marriage, all of Messiah's disciples were from Galilee. Okay. And he explained to his disciples in the mindset of a Galilean, a lot of the things that he explained to them. And the marriage and his return is after a Galilean tradition. And I pretty much knew that. But there were some things that they said within this video that I watched that I was like, oh, you know, I didn't really think about that way. But, you know, as far as what the bridegroom did and what the bride did, those things and what were required, I knew. And so I wanted to explore this further, but there are some things that they're teaching, even within that teaching, that happen to be wrong. That happen to be wrong. And so I wanted to go back through it, but I'm not going to start today. We're gonna start this from the standpoint we are still dealing with false salvation, and we want to understand. I want to start in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and Messiah said that he's doing something, and he's talking to husbands and wives, and he's doing it from that position, you know, as an example of the relationship between a husband and a wife. And so in that, he goes through and he says he is cleansing his bride so that he can present her to himself. He's washing her up so that he can present her, his own bride, to himself without spot, without wrinkle, without or any such thing. And so I wanted to take a look in these verses on the next couple of lessons before I actually go into the wedding and explain time frame wise the wedding, because as I'm listening to these pastors teach this and what the Most High has already shown me, truth and falsehood, you know, truth and untruth in the same lesson, still untruth. And that's, you know, what the enemy does. But the standpoint of it being from a Galilean view, to understand what was being said, the Galileans, his disciples, knew perfectly well what he was saying. They may not have totally understood everything, but they knew what he was saying, and they understood the traditions of that wedding. And so, as I said, a lot of those things as a tradition, and how we can see that when a woman gets engaged, she's actually married. She's not waiting to be married. She's considered to be the man's wife. They just have not consummated the wedding. They have not consummated the marriage until their wedding night covenant. It's not like marriage is in the United States. It is a different type of agreement, and it's a covenant. And so we want to understand all this. So on today, as we prepare to go before the Most High, I want you just to be in the mindset that we're going to be looking at in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look and see what Messiah said, and then we're going to go into what defiles the bride, what defiles her, and what defiles us, because we are symbolically a type of the bride. Okay, and in order to be in relationship with Messiah, we got to understand how we have to be present ourselves to him, and what condition morally, what condition spiritually we have to be in, so that he doesn't say, get away from me, I never knew you. Or he doesn't say, how did you get up in this wedding and you don't have your wedding garment? How'd you get in here? So we want to look at these things a little bit more in depth. I'm going to go into, not tonight, I don't think, but at some point, I'm going to go into the parable where the Most High tells Israel that Israel is not the bride. But they were the guests. They were the witnesses. And so we're going to look at who the bride is, because I know what the church says. But again, timing and everything is important in this. And so we're going to look at these things in depth. But we want to see how do we present ourselves? How did Messiah make us spotless? How did he make us without wrinkle or any such thing? Any such thing, that's broad. He don't even want us to have the appearance of being sinful. Any such thing, not even the appearance of it. So we want to look at these things so that we can come to him and walk with him in the way that he has always intended, in the way that he has always intended, per his word. Okay. That being said, let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. Get rid of this. And we're going to take our time and we're going to walk through this so that when we actually start looking at the wedding and the wedding feast and who's at the wedding feast and when is the wedding feast, when he returns, when he, returns to the earth. Is it after the 1,000-year millennial reign? Is it before then? When is the wedding? They teach this to teach the rapture, that they're going to be up in heaven with Messiah. And so there's some things that we just want to look at and clarify. We want to be in spirit and in truth before the Most High. And we, as I was praying this morning, or actually last night, I was praying, and the Most High said, okay, it's time to turn these messages into a more positive message point of keeping his law in the standpoint of understanding what a great blessing he has bestowed upon us by giving us his law, his statutes, his commandments, his heart. And we return that love by doing them, by keeping them, by not being disobedient. And that, we are in great favor with them if we do that, because he loves us. He says, I love them that love me. And if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we're doing those things, then we ought to rejoice and be thankful and know that we are blessed and know that we are highly favored and know that the Most High truly has chosen us and has taken us to himself, because these are things that the world really doesn't know. And when we do it from the standpoint that he wants to do it, when we reverence him and we fear him from where he wants us to, how he wants us to, then we are loving him the way that he wants to be loved. It's different. It would be different if he never told us. And we were guessing, oh, this is what I think the Most High wants. This is how I believe that he wants me to behave. This is how I believe that he wants me to look at him. He says, no, you don't have to guess that stuff. I've already told you. This is how I want you to look at me. This is how I want you to serve me. This is how, what I want you to believe. This is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to do or not do. And so when you know me, then you will do what I said to do. And I will love you in return. Now, we know that a lot of us come out of the church, the Christian church, and we're taught some doctrine that was just not true. And so it's like the person that when they first come to the Most High, they first come to God, and they have never known God, and they've been wild in the world. They've been doing whatever they wanted to do in the world. And if it's a man or a woman, and they realize that, hey, I should have been a virgin when I got married, but I was out sleeping around. I had, you know, sex with this person and that person. Then you go to get married in the eyes of the Most High, and you realize, wow, I'm out of line with his word already. I'm not in the condition that I'm supposed to be in, and I want him to bless this union. And so we have to understand where he's at so that when we come before him, that we're able to do it with a clear conscience, because that's what he wants. It was that what Messiah did was to clear our conscience. But we have to know that we've done what he asked to do to have a clear conscience. So we're going to do this from the standpoint of the bride, which will, the type of relationship that he wants us to be, an intimate relationship with him, in a covenant relationship. We are one. And we can't separate him from us and us from him when we come into that relationship as one. And so he wants us to understand it. But he uses it, you know, natural relationships to teach us spiritual relationships. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. And so let us do this. Let us do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Any man anywhere, uncover your head. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, Father. And we just love you with all our being, Father. And we just thank you for all that you have done for us in redeeming us from our sinful life, Father, and for allowing us to be in your presence and to glorify you and to see your glory and to love you as you have said to love you, Father. Thank you for revealing yourself, Father, and hallelujah, 10,000 praises to you, O Yah Elohim, 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000, hallelujah, for you, it's not enough, Father, it's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough, we can't glorify you enough, Father, but we give it to you, the praise of our lips, hallelujah, on today, and we thank you, Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, hallelujah, thank you, Yah Elohim, thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, if you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and we're turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you would wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, come and obey your statutes, your laws, your commandments, and your justice. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that you do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I will personalize this in your hearing. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us in, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, saying that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command you this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but to turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these things. I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High have a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, the doing, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Sound the shofar.
So excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high
to worship you.
To worship you.
And I bow down on my knees.
All praise
to you.
All praise
to you.
Up high
to worship you.
To worship you. My
knees,
all
praise to you.
I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation. Only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise
to worship you.
Bow down,
all
praise
to you.
Up high. I need you, yeah, I need you, yeah, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you.
Praise
up high. do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love, it is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scripture. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
My people. So this is the new covenant. I'm going to write my laws in your inward parts, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And we're going to start this precept, because we understand that the Most High did not remove the law. He said, I'm going to write it in your inward parts, in your heart, that you might do it. Okay? Ephesians, chapter 5. This is going to be the premise for this series, because it's going to be a series. Can't do this in one lesson, but this is to teach us the foundation, because we're going to go in. The ultimate goal is to get to the actual wedding, okay, where the Most High takes his bride. But we're going to see what he's looking for in a bride, okay? So, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Be ye therefore imitators of Elohim. Be an imitator of Elohim as beloved children. So like your father does, so do you. Be an imitator of him. And walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim for an odor of a sweet smell. I gave myself for them because I loved them before they even loved me. This is a sweet smell in the nostril of the Most High. But fornication and all uncleanliness, underlined uncleanliness, and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becometh, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints. So sex outside of marriage and all uncleanliness other people have, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know for a surety, that no nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Elohim. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Elohim upon the sons of disobedience. Underline that, the sons of disobedience. Because this is what the Most High don't like. If you love me, obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the wrath of Elohim comes upon those that are disobedient to him. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Because people say, you know, we're in a new day. That was back then. The Elohim, the God of the Bible, we have our own way. And this is what we think is good. Don't be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now light in Yah. Walk as children of the light. Once you come into the knowledge of the truth, you know right from wrong, you are in light. You are no longer in darkness. Darkness represents ignorance. Not stupidity, ignorance. You didn't know. And you may have thought you knew, but you didn't know. So once we come into the knowledge of what is right and wrong in the eyes of the Most High, then we are in the light. He says, be ye therefore, walk as children of the light. Walk as children of knowledge. For the fruit of the light is all goodness and righteousness and truth. And righteousness. Righteousness. Lawfulness. That's what makes you right. When you keep the laws of the Most High, His commandments, His statutes, His ordinances, His judgments, you are right by Him. And He means that you're righteous. You keep my commandments. You keep my laws. Proving what is well-pleasing unto Yah. It pleases Yah when we obey him. It ain't real hard. It pleases him when we obey him. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, darkness in this, it means ignorance or also evil. But rather, even reprove them. Reprove those people that you know are walking in ignorance, that they're walking in darkness. Or they, if it's not ignorance, then it's evil, that they're intentionally doing wrong. So you can be dark and be ignorant, have not the knowledge what you're supposed to do. Or you can know what you're supposed to do and not do it, and then you become evil. Okay? But rather reprove them, correct them, for the things which are done by them in secret is a shame even to speak of. So, you know, the world is all about, you know, you doing what pleasing this flesh and doing what the world says is okay to do as long as you don't, quote unquote, hurt nobody. You can do anything that your mind can imagine. And as long as you don't hurt anybody, whether the Most High says it's wrong or not, they don't really care. Let me just do what feels good to me. And he says, it is a shame even to speak of a lot of those things that they do, that they say it's okay. And how men justify these things, well, it's a new day. Men are changing the scriptures to fit their own lifestyle, to fit what they want to do. But we're talking about the bride now, those that are going to be in relationship with Messiah, what we're getting at here. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. When you correct something, when you rebuke it, it is made known by knowledge. Elohim will shine a light on it. This is the truth of that thing. For everything is made manifest. Everything that is made manifest is light. So once you shine a light on it, it's no longer a dark thing. That person is no longer dark to them either, because they can't be doing it out of ignorance. Light. But we'll get into that another time. Look therefore carefully how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. The fear of Elohim, the fear of God, is the beginning of all wisdom. And as long as you know to operate out of that fear and not a deep reverence, it's not about having a deep reverence for the Most High. It is a genuine fear that you're going to transgress him, that you're going to transgress his law. So it's the fear of him that gives you wisdom. And when you walk out of that wisdom, then many things are made manifest to you. Many things are shown to you from the light of the Most High and not in the light of the world. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. The sign of the times and what men are doing and what they are saying is acceptable and what you can and cannot do, as long as you love your brother, yada, yada, yada. Okay? They set their standard over his. Brotherly love is not the same type of love, as we know, as the love of Elohim. A different standard. And brotherly love actually turns out to be evil in the end. Okay, because it tries to substitute itself for the love of the Most High, the way he says that we should do things. Wherefore, be you not foolish, but understand what the will of Yah is. Understand what his will is. What do I want for you? What am I going to have, and what am I accomplishing? Understand what it is so you don't walk opposed to it, but you walk in it. And be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Be high off of him. You don't need wine or strong drink to influence your mind and make you feel a certain way. Just get high off of me. Get full of me. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to Yah. Giving thanks always for all things in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach to Elohim, even the Father. Subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Mashiach. Why would you subject yourselves, and why would we dear? Because he said for us to love each other. And if we don't, we are in opposition to him. We're in opposition to the commandment. So we got to do this. And out of fear that we are going to transgress a lot in this series. So that we know what not to do. And we know what to do. Because as we read in the opening verse, he wants a bride not having spots or wrinkles or any such thing, not even the appearance of it. What he wants. Why? Be in subjection unto your own husband. As unto Yah. How you serve the Most High is how you're supposed to serve your husband. Would you argue with the Most High? Would you manipulate him or try to manipulate him? Would you go against what he says to do? Thriving this relationship, and he's setting up standards that, you know, a lot of people don't want to abide by. You know, we are a new generation, and we are a generation of feminists. They try to emasculate the man, and make the man, you know, you got to be this all submissive and roll over type of man. When the Most High says, I put you in leadership, I made you the head. And so he's telling the woman, submit to your own husband as unto him. How you submit to your husband is how you submit to him. For the husband is the head of the wife. And Christ, or Mashiach, also is the head of the church, being himself the savior of the body. So this relationship, he's telling the woman, the order in the relationship, okay? And so when we can understand this at a natural level, we can understand it as a spiritual level. I think a lot of the times, though, people feel like they can submit themselves to the Most High, where they won't submit themselves to their husband. And maybe because we got a husband out of the world and they didn't walk according to the laws of the Most High, maybe they were ignorant of them, maybe they chose to reject them, whatever the case may be, no matter what, he's your husband. You married. So if you're a holy woman, then you're supposed to keep yourself holy and be in obedience as he commands. We're supposed to be in obedience to the Most High. And we're going to look at the nature of this relationship, okay, over time. Okay, because I want to deal with some specific verses out of here. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is also the head of the church, being himself the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Mashiach, so let the wives also be to their husbands in some things. This is how we're supposed to be in subjection to Messiah in everything. So he says the wife is also, because the Most High made the husband her head, she's supposed to be in subjection to him in everything, not in just what she wants or how she feels, but in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Messiah also loved the church and gave himself for it. The husband should be willing to die for his wife, for her honor, trouble. If she does something she's not supposed to do, she says something and somebody's coming at her in a way, supposed to protect her. If she'll let him. But he's telling the husbands to love your wife as I have loved you. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, that he might set it apart, having cleansed it. How? By the washing of water. I'm not talking about physical water. With the word. It's an analogy. The word is the water. You're supposed to wash your wife with his word to remove sent her. He's presenting his bride without spot, not washing her with water. There's a different type of spot that water won't get out. So he says we need a special type of water here. It's called the word of Elohim, and we need to deal with those. We need to deal with those wrinkles and any other such thing that is contrary to his word. Because then he talks about the spirit of the law, what was intended. You know, we sometimes, you know, I teach very literally until the Most High says this is what he's talking about. And here it is in context. Word means what it's trying to teach you. When it's not spoken of specifically, because the Most High is not going to cover everything. The things that are important to him, that's what he's covered. You're coming into a relationship with him. What's important to him, that's what he has revealed. The way that he loves us and how he loves us, that's what has been revealed. Let me show you what's important to me. These are my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments. This is how I'm going to react in a given situation. This is my thought process. I want you to imitate me. Come like me. By my word, I'm not going to speak to everybody audibly, by a voice, by a revelation, by a thought. I'm not going to speak to everybody that way. That's why I had it written. Even I, when I came, I told you, it is written. So we need to be washed in his word. Retaught in his word so that we can remove some spots from off of our spirit, from off of our being. That he might present the church to himself. I'm going to buy my bride. I'm not going to wash her and clean her up to present her to me, to my standard. You know, if you send somebody somewhere and you say, hey, wash them up, they might give them a cowboy bath. Sit them in front of the sink, get a damp cloth, wet it, put some soap on it, wash them down, rinse them. Never put them in the tub. Never put them in the shower. My Messiah said, no. I want them scrubbed. Let me do this the way I want it done. I'm going to clean you the way that I want to clean you, that makes you presentable to me according to my standards. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, and underline it, without blemish. This is who he's looking for. So think about this. You come into a relationship with me. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to make you presentable to me. What I like. And then you run back into the street. You run back to the mud hole that he pulled you out of. You run back into the sin that he delivered you from. I washed all those spots from you. And then you went back and waddled in the mud. You went back like a dog to your own vomit. I don't want you to have any blemish. I don't want you coming to the wedding in a soiled wedding gown. You fell down, got it dirty. Nah, let's stop this. Put the wedding on hold. Let's send this gown out and let's get it clean. Have it looking brand new again so that I can take you to myself. Okay, now, eventually, we're going to get to the Galilean wedding, that tradition, that ceremony, because that is the ceremony that Messiah uses as an example in the scripture. Everything that he does, from the christening, offering the cup with the wine in it of his blood, the marriage proposal, to the I leave and go to prepare a place, that where I am, there shall you be. This is all part of that Galilean wedding ceremony. And he's using it, telling us that that's how it's going to be. Now, there are some interpretations, as I said, that I don't agree with from some of these churches because they have some events happening that the Most High said, that ain't happening. And so we want to put ourselves. So when we get into that and we look at that ceremony, and we look at the scriptures concerning it, then I want us to be well aware of what is coming. We don't know the time, as he already told us. And when we look at this wedding feast, you'll understand that the father of the groom determined when the wedding was going to take place. Not the son and the daughter, not the bride and the groom, but the father of the groom. So we're going to look at this because he says only the father knows when this wedding is going to take place. When you become engaged, you become a spouse, but you're not going to consummate this marriage until I'm ready to bring you into my own house. The marriage in my own house, in our house. So we're going to look at all this in the future. Right now, what I want to look at is the bride without spot or wrinkle. Or does not teach that the Most High said, if you are unclean, you ain't getting in. Oh, people think that's an unclean mind. You know, a wicked thought. No, that's unclean too. But there are some things that are make clean that are law. His law. What you can eat, what you can't eat. When you should wash and why you should wash. And for what time period you are unclean. But we want to look at these things. So we're going to stop here, and I want to go into Leviticus. Because we want to look at this, what put chapter 11. And these have to do with the dietary law. Because the Most High says, you can't be around me eating just any kind of way. And people want to say, oh, it don't matter today. If it before, if Most High said that it defiled you before, it still defiles you. But he's not an unjust or an unrighteous Elohim. He knows that the Gentiles were eating any and everything. But as we grow in his word, we have to return to his law. So he said, that's what I'm going to write in your heart. What makes me unclean? What makes me spotted? Leviticus chapter 11. And we're going to get verse 44, and then we're going to go back up to make sure that we have an understanding. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. For I am God your Elohim. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, separate yourselves from everybody else, and you shall be holy. Underline that word holy, and then to the right of it somewhere, write clean. So being holy and clean are synonymous. Neither shall you defile yourself, neither shall you spot yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we don't want to be defiled. We don't want to be made unclean because we are supposed to be holy as he is holy. Your husband come home after working in, let's say, the sewer pit, and just want to jump in bed. Ain't took a shower, ain't got cleaned up, ain't did nothing. So get busy. You better go be clean like I'm clean. The Most High is talking about in a morally and spiritual way. So let's go back up in this chapter. Starting verse 1. Children of Israel, saying, these are the living things which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. No matter where you're at on the earth, if you go there, these are the things that you may eat. Whatsoever part is the hoof, and is cloven footed, and choose the cud among the beasts, that may you eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, or them that part the hoof, the camel, because he cheweth the cud to you. You remember who you're going into relationship with. Doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Gentile. This is who you're going into relationship with. Be holy, for I am holy. Don't eat these animals. They are unclean to you. And the hare, the rabbit, because he chews the cud, but part is not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, pig, because he part is the hoof and is cloven footed, but chews not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. They defile you. These may you eat of all that are in the water, whatsoever has fins and scales in the water, in the seas, and in the river, that may you eat. Crab don't have fins and scales. Eels don't have fins and scales. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers and in the waters, and of all that move in the waters, and all living creatures that are in the waters, they are an abomination unto you. If they don't have fins and scales. You know, I used to love some catfish. The catfish has got fins, but it don't have scales. And it's a bottom feeder. That's unclean to you. It's an abomination. Whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the waters, that is an abomination unto you. Want to be in relationship with me? You can't eat this stuff. And these you shall have in abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the gear eagle and the osprey and the kite and the falcon after his kind. Birds of prey. Birds that eat meat. Every raven after his kind. Ravens eat live and dead meat. And the ostrich and the nighthawk and the seamew and the hawk after his kind. And the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl. And the horned owl and the pelican and the vulture and the stork and the heron after his kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat, all winged creeping things that go up on all fours are an abomination unto you. So bats go on all fours. There's a bird that eat other birds, that eat other living creatures. They don't peck the ground and eat seeds or bugs. They eat meat. He said, they are an abomination to you. These may eat of all winged creeping things that go upon all fours, which have legs above their feet, wherewith to leap upon the earth. Now, a bat don't have legs upon what it crawls for on all fours. It uses the front part of its wings, but there's no leg above it. That's why he says that has a leg above their feet. Them may you eat. The locust. The locust is above. But he says you can eat this one. After his kind, and all the bald locust after its kind, and the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all winged creeping things which have 4 feet are an abomination unto you. For the most part, that everything else that has 4 feet, that's an abomination. Why? Because he said so. And by these shall you become unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean, not forever, until the evening. Even if you wash your hands, let's say you touch something that's unclean, you are unclean until the evening. So you touch something unclean, you wash your hands, you are not free to go do anything in regards to the Most High. You are still unclean until the evening. Whosoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening. And whosoever bears aught of the carcass that carries it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Wash your clothes, got brand new clothes. Maybe you came home and changed your clothes. We feel like, hey, it's okay to go. Let me go ahead and go to church. Let me go ahead and do this and spend some time with the Most High. He says, you're still unclean. You're still defiled until the time period is over. Every beast which parteth the hoof and is not cloven tongue is unclean unto you. Everyone that touches them shall be unclean. Just touching them. And whosoever goes upon, and whatsoever goes upon its paws, among all the beasts, so paws, those are like dogs. Dogs and bears and those types of animals have paws. They don't have hooks. Among all the beasts that go on all fours, they are unclean unto you. Whosoever touches their carcass shall be unclean until the evening, touches their carcass. Carcass is something that has died. Okay? Not that you can't touch a dog or a cat. And he that bears the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. They are unclean unto you. So are they which are unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the great lizard after his kind, and the gecko and the land crocodile and the lizard and the sand lizard and the I can't believe I can't pronounce the word. Chameleon. These are they which are unclean to you among all the creatures. Whosoever does touch them when they are dead shall be unclean until the evening. So see, a lot of people believe that they can't have dogs, they can't have cats, those types of things. No, it's not true. You can have those things, but you can't touch them when they're dead. If you touch them when they're dead, then you are unclean. And upon whatsoever, and upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, does fall, it shall be unclean. Whether it be any weasel, vessel of wood, or whatever they fall on, whatever they touch is unclean. Or raiment, or clothing, or skin, or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherewith any work is done, it must be put into water evening. Then shall it be clean. So there being unclean, it has a time frame to it. You'll wash it, and it's unclean until the evening starts the next day. So he's really saying for that day, that thing is unclean. When the start of the next day begins, the new day, then you can use it again. And every earthen vessel whereinto any of them fall, whatsoever it is, shall be unclean, and it shall break. And it shall break. So if it's an earthen type of vessel made out of clay or anything like that, he says you can't use that again. Break it. All food therein which may be eaten, that on which water cometh, shall be unclean. And all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean. Whether oven or range or pot, it shall be broken in pieces. They are unclean, it shall be unclean to you. Nevertheless, a fountain or a pit wherein is gathering of water shall be clean, but that which touches their carcass shall be unclean. So if there's enough water there, he's saying, hey, it is diluted, and all the water ain't going to be unclean. So if you come across a river and there's a dead animal in it, you probably don't want to drink downstream from it. But just because it's in that river don't make it unclean. Go somewhere where it hasn't touched that carcass. And if aught of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it is clean. But if water be put upon the seed, and aught of their carcass fall therein, it is unclean unto you. Why? Because when you put water on a seed, it activates it to germinate. And it will, if there are any type of pathogens, a rot or anything on that carcass, the plant will suck it up. Okay? So he says if there's water activating that seed, it is unclean to you. And if any beast of which you may eat die, he that touches the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the evening. Anything that's lawful for you to eat, if it dies, if you kill it, what is he telling you? You're unclean until the evening. And every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth is an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goes upon the belly, and what on all fours, and whatsoever has many feet, even all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them shall you not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth. Don't defile yourself. Don't spot yourself. Neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am Yahweh Elohim. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. Because I've been talking about cleanliness this whole time. Cleanliness and holiness are one and the same. For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that moves upon the earth. For I am Yah that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy. You shall therefore be clean, for I am clean. I'm looking for a bride without spot. The world too, that, hey, this stuff don't matter. It does matter. Because Yah says it matters. You got to know how to operate within what he wants for salvation. God says a person is more important than being unclean for the kingdom's sake. But you got to make sure that you do it according to his rules, not according to what men say. We'll get into that another time. This is the law that I'm going to write in your heart of the beasts and of the birds and of every living creature that moves in the water and every creature that creeps upon the earth, clean and the clean, and between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may not be eaten. Eating can make you, eating the wrong thing and touching the wrong thing can make you unclean. While you are unclean, you're not allowed to take part in anything holy. You're not allowed to go into the sanctuary. You're not allowed to go before the Most High because you are in a state that is an abomination to him. I'm looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Let's continue. Go to Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15. And let's get verse 31. Leviticus 15 and verse 31. And then we're going to come back and read so that we have understanding. I don't like cherry-picking scripture. Because you make it say whatever you want it to say. So let's get context. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 31. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, that they die not in their uncleanliness. If you die in your uncleanliness, uncleanliness is not just being dirty. Let me say this again. Uncleanliness is not just being dirty. The Most High considers it to be sin. And so you don't want to die in your uncleanliness, because if you do, you die in your sin. Can't stress that enough. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, that they die not in their uncleanliness, when they defile my tabernacle that is in the midst of them. Unclean and come into my tabernacle, you might die. See, we don't see these things today because it don't happen to us immediate like that, like it was happening to them. They were being taught a lesson immediately. You don't do that. Because we don't see it immediately today, we think that, oh, it's okay. Separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, that they die not in their uncleanliness, when they defile my tabernacle in the midst of them. This is the law of him that has issue, of him whose seed of copulation. Now he's going to talk about sexual uncleanliness. So that he is unclean thereby. So let's go back up to verse 1. Leviticus chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Because see, people want to go before the Most High in all kind of conditions. And the Most High says, no, you're spotted. You are defiled for me. I killed people for that. Understand who we're dealing with. Leviticus chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man has an issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanliness in his issue, whether his flesh run within his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanliness. Now he's talking about wet dreams. He's talking about if you have any sores that are leaking pus, you are unclean. Okay. Every bed whereupon that he has issue lies shall be unclean. And everything whereupon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So, you know, in this world we live in today, people running around in unclean conditions, and you don't know if you touch anything that was unclean. And so you could be touching something and then doing something with the Most High in ignorance. Most High didn't know I was unclean because I didn't know that person was unclean. Now, you will usually see men and pastors, and especially those of the Hebrew persuasion, they will read these scriptures pertaining to the woman. But they won't read them pertaining to the man. Clean, you're unholy for a time period. And you will be unclean until the evening. You're supposed to wash yourself, bathe yourself in water, for real, for real. And then you're unclean till the evening. And he that sitteth on anything whereupon he that has the issue sat shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that touched the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that has the issue spit upon him that is clean. And if he that has the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And what saddle, whatever he sits, soever he that has the issue rideth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening. And he that bears those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever he that has the issue touches without having rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And the earthen vessel which he that has the issue touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. So you have a vessel that is, again, made out of clay or something like that. Most I says, to be broken. And when he has, and when he that has the issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number himself 7 days. So this is, you had some issue in your body. It was a sore, losing touch, whatever the case may be. You have a running issue. If you're unclean, and when that is cleared up, you shall be unclean 7 days. 7 days before you can go before the Most High. And wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. And on the eighth day, he shall take to him 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, and come before Yah unto the door of the tent of meeting, and give them unto the priest. Now, why is he going to bring these turtle doves to the priest? And the priest shall offer them the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before Yah for his issue. And if any man's seed of copulate go out from him, and he shall bathe all of his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. And every garment on every skin whereupon the seed of his copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. And the woman also with whom a man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. So, you know, when the brothers are telling the ladies, oh, yeah, it's Sabbath, but we can still get busy. You can't get busy because you're unclean and it is a sin. Well, the marriage bed is not defiled. Oh, no, you didn't bring anybody else into your marriage bed, but you made the marriage bed unclean by the seed of copulation. The woman also with whom a man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean, and her issue is in her flesh, be blood, a running issue. She shall be in her impurity 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lies upon in her impurity shall be unclean. Everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sits upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on the bed or anything whereupon she sitteth, where when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. If any man lie with her and her impurity be upon him, her blood gets upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, not just that day. And every bed whereupon he lies shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days, not in the time of her impurity, not during her cycle, or if she have an issue beyond the time of her impurity, past the time of her cycle, all the days of the issue of her uncleanliness, she shall be as in the days of her impurity. She is unclean. As long as she is now, she's unclean, this is a part of life. She's still in sin. Watch. Every bed whereupon she lies, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her impurity. And everything whereupon she sits shall be unclean as the uncleanliness of her impurity. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she be cleansed of her issue, she'll number to herself, like the man, 7 days. And after that, she shall be clean. And on the eighth day, she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tent of the meeting. And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering, because he was unclean. Okay. For a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her before Yah for the issue of her uncleanliness. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness. You want to deal with me? This is how I deal. You touch anything unclean, you're unclean. You wash yourself and you're unclean until the evening. If a man have seed come out of him, a running issue, he washes, he's unclean until the evening. If a woman has her monthly cycle, when her cycle is over, she's to wash, and she's unclean for 7 days. When the man's issue, whatever it was in his body, is over with, he's unclean for 7 days. And on the 8th day, he's clean. Now, we have Messiah today for the sin aspect of this. We're not going to go get no turtle doves and bring them for a sin offering. We still have to know that we're unclean and we're not supposed to go before the Most High. Have to know that. Okay? This is the law of him that has of him whose seed of copulation goes forth from him, so that he is unclean thereby. And of her that is sick with her impurity, and of him that has an issue of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. This is the law. And so being unclean is a sin. And it required a sin sacrifice. Now, we come into the New Testament. Messiah, we still sin. But this is a sin. If you are a woman and you are of breeding age and you're still having your cycle, then every month, you shouldn't be going to church if you're on your cycle. You shouldn't be going before the Most High as in the sanctuary before him on your cycle. The man should not be going before the Most High if he's in a state of uncleanliness, because we are defiled. And this is the law. I'm going to write my law in your inward part, in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to wash you by the word. You got these thoughts and you think this way, but I need to clean you up. Messiah didn't come and say, oh, get rid of all those laws. Wait a minute, I died because you transgressed those laws. So I'm going to delete those laws? No. I'm going to write them in your heart and in your mind, that you would do them, that you would abide by them, that you would live by them. Okay, this is what he's talking about. Hold on just a second. What time we got? 6:41. So reread this verse again. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. And let me show you what the way the church interprets this. To show you how they twist things. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. You know of a surety for sure that no fornicator nor unclean person. Now they want to change this. They want to term this as no immoral person. Not with a clean mind. Did anything that we read in Leviticus have to do with your mind? Had to do with your physical body? But the church will teach that, oh, no immoral person. of mind things. No, there's some physical things that the Most High says makes you unclean, and it is a sin to be in that condition. That's why nobody can say they're not a sinner. Even when you go out, you don't know who's doing what, because the world don't live by this standard. The world lives by its own standard. Oh, just get you some wipes, you'll be all right. Just get you some Lysol wipes, and you'll be all right. Most I say, hey, you don't know what you done touched. And if you touch something unclean, it is better to err on the side of what? Safe? Than present yourself to him in an unclean state. So I'm going to wash you up. I'm going to wash you with my word. I'm going to clean you up because there's some spots that you have on you. The soap and water can't get off. It's called obedience to my word. If I say you're unclean, you're unclean. If I say you are now clean, if you do these things, then you're clean. If I say don't eat these things, don't eat those things. Because they're an abomination to me. No unclean person have a new meaning for you. Do you think it has to be somebody that is, that has a wicked mind? They run around thinking about raping women or being with little boys or little girls, think about breaking in people's houses. You know, that's what the church wants to teach you, wants to tell you. Messiah said it's not what goes into your mouth, but what comes out of your heart. But he wasn't talking about those things that he was already said are unclean. Because Messiah wouldn't have been, and he wouldn't have been having his disciples to eat anything unclean. They were eating some corn. Corn is not unclean. But the Pharisees want to say, hey, your disciples didn't wash their hands. The Messiah says, hey, that corn is clean. We ain't been nowhere to touch anything unclean. We ain't touched no dead animals. We ain't been with no women. So if there's some dirt on here, that dirt ain't going to kill us. Now, if we done touched some unclean animal or some unclean person, then yeah. The law says that we are unclean. Okay? So let's go pull up my paper again here. Go to Leviticus 18. Leviticus chapter 18. You know, again, these are the things that Messiah is talking about. I'm going to write these things in your heart so that you are in the light, that you're not ignorant of these things. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20, and we'll go and get everything for context. Because these things did not just apply to Israel. They apply to anybody that comes into a relationship with the Most High. Leviticus chapter 8, and understand that I said this is a series. We're not rushing through it because we want to do what the Most High told us to do. We want to be cleansed by the renewing of our mind, by the washing of our mind with the word, so that we don't do some things that are offensive to him. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20. And thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Now, this is a moral issue here. When they lie together, they become unclean. But when it's somebody's wife, it's a different level now. Now this is on the moral level. And the Most High is saying, hey, you are unclean. You lie with her carnally, and you defiled yourself with her. Don't do that. Verse 21. And thou shalt not give any of thy seed to make them pass through the fire to Molech. Molech is a Arab god, a Muslim god. I remember my wife was trying to get me to do this sovereign thing. And when I read their documentation, the people of Morocco worship Molech. And I was like, no, I can't do that because they're not worshiping the same God. He didn't know that at the time. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy Elohim. I am Yah. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now, the modern day church is telling men that they can lie with other men as they lie with women, and women that they can lie with other women as they lie with men. Not an abomination. They are defiled. They are more than defiled. He says it's an abomination. It's another level of unclean. A whole different level of unclean. It's like when the woman was on her cycle. He said, hey, you slept with her while she was on her cycle? No, you're not unclean just for till this evening when you wash. You unclean for the next 7 days. Don't even come to me sober. So here we got man and man and woman and woman. And the church is telling them that it's okay. It's not an abomination. Nowhere are you going to find that in the New Testament. Nowhere. God said it's an abomination then. I'm going to write it in your heart. That's an abomination. How are they going to be following him and say this is okay? Well, you know, it's brotherly love. The same thing that we've been talking about this whole time. They are replacing, you know, everybody should be able to love whoever they want to. You can't help who you fall in love with, whether it's the same sex or the opposite sex. You can't help who you love. That's that brotherly love stuff, because the Most High said, that stuff don't fly here. It is an abomination. Covenant is the old covenant written in our heart. They have to choose to change that. They have to choose to ignore this. Oh, no, that's for those Jews. That's an abomination for them. It's okay for us. We ain't up under that law. Oh, yes, you are. You're still up under that law. Verse 24. Verse 23. And thou shalt not lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. You got the animal confused. Clearly, you confused if you think that lying with an animal is acceptable. You find that a attraction to do that turns you on to do that. But now do you confuse this animal? Because now the animal thinks, hey, human beings are to be slept with, not to be served. Verse 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for all these things All these, the nations are, let me reread this. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these things, the nations are defiled, which I cast out from before you. Ain't nothing new up under the sun. Men been sleeping with men, women with women, men with animals, women with animals, whatever the heart could imagine. They have done it. That's why he says, and no such thing. I ain't going to name everything. I told you man and women were made to lay together like that. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eve and Adam, and not Eve and Evelyn. Everything else is an abomination. You defile yourself with it. Oh, no, that was just for them. The God we serve, he wouldn't be against us that way. He would accept us as we are. Lies. Messiah says, I'm looking for a church not having spots. And the world is teaching that its standards are higher and better than the Most High's standards. Out of brotherly love. Verse 26. And the land is defiled. Trust me, this nation is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land vomits out her inhabitants. You, therefore, shall keep my statutes and my ordinances, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the homeborn nor the stranger that sojourns among you. For all of these abominations have the men of the land done, that were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land vomit not you out also, when you defile it, as it vomit out the nations that was before you. For whosoever shall do any of these abominations, even the souls that do them, shall be cut off from among their people. They're doing everything they can to make this acceptable. They're going to bring it up in the church and make it acceptable. No. That's why he says, you say you're doing these miracles in my name. You're saying that you're doing wondrous work. You're feeding the hungry. You're clothing the naked. You're healing people in my name. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not, because they are staying spotted. They are staying defiled. Staying unclean. And don't even want to know whether they are unclean or clean. It don't matter. He just loves me. No, he don't. Okay? So he said he's going to cut them off from among their people. This ain't going to last. He's either going to cut them off or he's going to judge this nation for this abomination. Because I'm a national abomination. And a matter of law, the law of the land. The law of the land over his law. Verse 30. Therefore you shall keep my charge, that you practice not any of these abominable customs, which were practiced before you, and that you defile not yourself therein. I am Yah, your Elohim. Let's stop here for this evening. Understand that we are looking at the bride, and Messiah said that he was going to sanctify the bride himself. He was going to wash his own bride to present to himself acceptable to him. He might be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And you got the world saying, hey, we can eat what we want to eat. It don't matter. We can do what we want to do. It don't matter. Our laws are more righteous than his laws. Our laws look out for everybody. Our laws are not homophobic. Our laws accept you no matter what you're doing because we have quote-unquote brotherly love. My brother literally loves his other brother as in a sexual way. That's between them two. That's what the world is saying. Most of us says no. It's an abomination. And you are spotted. So we're going to stop here. We will pick it up next Saturday as we continue in this series because we're looking to see what the Most High is looking for in a bride. And he already has said that the church should serve Christ, serve Messiah, and that the wife should serve her husband as they serve him. So he didn't tell the man, go out and beat her and make her do what you want her to do. Told her, serve your husband as you serve me, as you would serve me. So we're going to get into all those things because as the bride, we can't overrule Messiah. We can't usurp authority over him. No, Messiah, we ain't doing that like that. I ain't doing that. Because I ain't having none of that. So we'll get into these things so we know what he's looking for. And then we know how we are to conduct ourselves in our everyday life. As he says, imitate me. Do what I do. Imitate me. So that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen or unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom and have a blessed rest of your evening. See those who are going to be in class tomorrow morning. I will send out an email on what that topic will be. We might still be looking at the conscious and unconscious heart or conscious mind. And how men, how Antichrist is going to use that to make men turn against the Most High. Because they're going to feel like their standard is better than his. So I'll send out that email. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Just a man. You always said, did
watch me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to all. Peace and blessings. Hey, and dog.
Tell you.
All right. Shalom. My brothers are often up in New York. If you haven't already fallen asleep. I know he used to